Next Monday is a holiday, and a federal holiday at that, which means that I have the day off, and I am sure enough grateful for that. I love my job immensely, but an extra day of time to do other stuff is always welcome. I've got a couple of rifles to scope up and some ammo to load. I've got some organizing to do in my shop, and doggone it, if the weather's good, I might kick all that to the curb and go for a snow machine ride. Yeah, extra time is always welcome, even when your job is pretty much as good as it gets. Of course, the reason for next week's holiday is a birthday, a president's birthday, which we'll get to in a moment. It's become kind of a thing, of late, to focus on the flaws of historical figures. And make no mistake, they all have flaws. Humans have flaws, even the ones who are really, really, really great people and admired by everyone. And when it comes to presidents, we've had some who were really good people trying to do the right thing, and we've had some who were possibly more motivated by self-interest and didn't always try to do the right thing. It's kind of the nature of people as a whole when you get right down to it. Most are pretty good and try to do the right thing, but that's sure not true of everyone. Today, let's go in the direction of a man whose birthday we celebrate next week. During his life, he tried to do an awful lot of the right thing. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. You'll hear a lot of people call Monday President's Day, and in written form, that's without an apostrophe. The people sending out my paycheck, the federal government, they call it by a different name, George Washington's birthday. There's been some confusion about that through the years. Some see the day as a celebration of all who have held the office of president. Still others see it as a meshing of the birthdays of Lincoln and Washington. Lincoln's birthday is today, actually, and Washington's is the 22nd. So the celebration date, the third Monday of each February, always falls between those two dates. At the end of the day, though, the federal government recognizes the day, that third Monday of each February, as George Washington's birthday. The day is his and his alone, no matter how it might be designated on your calendar. Ironically, because the third Monday was selected as the day to celebrate his birthday, the day will never actually fall on his actual birthday. If you choose to see it as a day to remember all who have served as president, I don't have any problem with that. Actually, I believe I put together a past episode that was taped around President's Day to that effect, simply because I like history and there have been so many fine individuals who have served our country. That said, today I'm going to come at it from the angle of being what my employer says it is, George Washington's birthday. If you need a tie to the outdoors, well, this being field notes and all, there's at least a couple of ways you could do that. First, our country's freedoms allow us to pursue any number of outdoor activities, such as me maybe going on a snow-go ride next Monday. And I'm guessing I might not be alone on that. Also, Washington himself enjoyed the outdoors in many ways, as an angler and a hunter. So there's that. There have been a lot of fascinating individuals to hold the office of president. Perhaps none of them overcame more or were more humble about serving than George Washington. He was born in 1732 into the family of a Virginia tobacco grower of modest wealth. And it was a large family. He had six siblings that reached adulthood. He was well educated and learned the morals, manners, and the knowledge required of an 18th century Virginia gentleman. He developed an interest in two things early in his life, land and military service, and he made them his life's pursuit. By the age of 17, he was appointed official surveyor for Culpeper County in Virginia, a well-paid position which allowed him to begin to purchase land of his own. By the time he was 21, he was appointed a major in the Virginia militia. A year later, he fought in his first battles in what grew into the French and Indian War. By an age when many in today's society are still trying to decide if college is the right choice and what to major in, Washington was already firmly educated and established into the man he was, the man who would eventually lead our country to its freedom. From the end of the French and Indian War in the late 1750s to the outbreak of the American Revolution, Washington managed his lands and got married, to Martha Dandridge Custis, and he set about to devoting himself to a busy, happy, and prosperous life. But through his life as a tobacco grower and also public service, Washington felt himself, like many other colonists, becoming increasingly exploited by British merchants and hampered by British regulations. As the quarrel with Great Britain became more acute, he moderately but firmly voiced his opposition to the restrictions. Washington was one of the Virginia delegates when the Second Continental Congress assembled in Philadelphia in May of 1775. Because of his past military background and leadership abilities, he was elected Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. On July 3, 1775, in Massachusetts, Washington took command of an untrained ragtag group of men and set about training them to become soldiers. He then embarked upon a war that would eventually last for 6 grueling years. Early on, Washington realized the futility of trying to fight the war on Britain's terms. He knew his armies were undertrained and undermanned. Over time, his strategies worked and victories began to mount, and with it, critical support from other countries that had initially been a bit hesitant to support us for fear of retaliation from Great Britain. Finally, in 1781, with the aid of the French, Washington was able to force the surrender of General Cornwallis at Yorktown and bring an end to the war. By the end of the war, Washington was ready to retire to his Mount Vernon estate. He longed to spend time in the fields, regaining and tending to his private life. However, his sense of public service was greater still. The initial form of government that was created in the aftermath of the war, called the Articles of Confederation, fell flat. It was an epic failure. Fearing that what had been gained could just as easily be lost, Washington stepped in and became a focal figure in the steps leading to the Constitutional Convention at Philadelphia in 1787, at which our current Constitution was created and adopted. When the new Constitution was ratified, the Electoral College unanimously elected Washington as president. He remains the only president to hold that honor. He was inaugurated on April 30, 1789. The first United States Congress voted to pay Washington a salary of $25,000 a year, which at that time was just a huge sum of money. Washington was already a wealthy man, due in large part to his land holdings. He saw public service as privilege, and he believed strongly in the image of public service being a selfless act. As such, he initially balked at the idea of being paid at all and declined his salary. At the urging of Congress, however, he ultimately agreed to be paid. It was pointed out that it would set a dangerous precedent whereby it would be perceived that only independently wealthy individuals could serve. Washington, fully aware that everything he did would set precedent by virtue of the fact that he was the first, gave in. He proved to be a very capable administrator and was not simply the first president, but an outstanding one as well. He was very good at delegating, and was a superb judge of talent and character. He was very good at talking regularly with department heads and listening earnestly to their advice before making final decisions. In handling daily tasks, he was said to be systematic, orderly, energetic, solicitous of the opinion of others, but decisive, intent upon general goals and the consistency of particular actions with them. Washington reluctantly served a second term, but he refused a third. He finally was able to retire to his Mount Vernon home and to something of a regular life. That regular life, sadly, was short-lived. 3 years into his retirement, during a stretch of poor weather, Washington contracted a throat infection and died on December 14, 1799. He was 67 years old. Throughout the world, men and women were saddened by his death. Despite the fact he was a general of the enemy's armies, English newspapers had always praised Washington for his personal character, even dating back to the years of the war. In France, Napoleon ordered 10 full days of mourning throughout France. In the United States, thousands of people wore clothes of mourning for months after his death. Perhaps some of the best words about Washington were shared during a eulogy for him by former war comrade and then Congressman Henry Lee. First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. He was second to none in the humble and enduring scenes of private life. Pious, just, humane, temperate, and sincere. Uniform, dignified, and commanding. His example was as edifying to all around him as were the effects of that example lasting. To his equals he was condescending, to his inferiors kind, and to the dear object of his affections exemplarily tender. Correct throughout, vice shuddered in his presence, and virtue always felt his fostering hand. The purity of his private character gave effulgence to his public virtues. His last scene comported with the whole tenor of his life, although in extreme pain, not a sigh, not a groan escaped him, and with undisturbed serenity he closed his well-spent life. Such was the man America lost. Such was the man for whom our nation mourns. Washington once said of himself, "I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, the character of an honest man." History records that he did just that, and so very much more. To one and all, happy Washington's birthday. If you have off Monday, make it a point to try and get outdoors. The forecast at this time says a chance of snow and a high of around 30. Sounds like a good day to be outside. Have fun and be safe while you're out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.